Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church on this second Sunday of the time after Pentecost, ordinary time and kingdom time. We got it covered. We're all good. It is good to be with you once again. I hope you're enjoying the coolness in here as you have come from outside to inside, but also feel the welcomeness of being in the house of God, being before Christ and knowing that we have peace each and every moment of our days when we turn everything that we have in our minds and our hearts and our soul to Jesus Christ. Let's turn to our announcements this morning. There's very few at the moment. We have the church in Wyoming is Saturday. It's coming up. We have over 100 people signed up, I believe. It should be just a wonderful time, a time for us to experience a little bit of the Hawaiian culture through their food. So we're looking forward to that. I believe you can still come on out to that. It's going to be on Saturday between 4:30 and 6:30, so come and join the fun. Also, VBS is still in need of assistance, volunteers. Please contact Joyce or Betsy and be a part of it's just an amazing week to see the energy that the kids bring to you. So if you need a pick-me-up, this is a place to come for that. Also want to welcome Ken Clark with us today for him bringing his talents for helping us with our worship this morning. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to him as we begin with our prelude.
Correction from what is in the program, I'm listed as a violin solo. Today I brought a viola. A word about the introductory piece. Psalm 117 is the shortest of all the Psalms. And if you flip through your Bible in many editions, it is in the exact middle. This psalm declares, "Praise ye the Lord, all ye nations." Praise ye the Lord is why we're gathered today. Praise ye the Lord in the original Hebrew is Hallelujah. And Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, in one of his prayers, translated it in Latin, Laudate Domino. Thank you.
Good morning. Please stand as you're able for our call to worship. Come into the light of God's love.
Separate us from its blessing.
Come to the house of healing and hope.
God's love makes us whole.
Let us worship the Lord our God. And if you would remain standing, please, for our opening hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. There's a change from your bulletin to the number. It's 358 in your hymnal. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. You may be seated. Please join with me in our opening prayer. God of power and might, bring your awesome presence into our worship and our world. Open us to your holiness and healing, and embolden us to answer your call, that we might face unafraid the challenges of this world and the resistance to your love. Amen. If the children would come forward for the children's moment, please.
Good morning. Today we are going to talk about time. What is your favorite time? And it can be your favorite time of year, your favorite time of day. What's your favorite time?
Christmas time.
Summer.
Summer's good. Me too.
I love summer. So, did you know that, and this is kind of weird, in church, this is called ordinary time. Did you know that? Isn't that kind of odd? So, to do this, I had to draw it out.
Need me to hold that for you?
Sure, because this is the way I think. So we are right here. We just entered that green space. All of this is ordinary time. And we're going to stay there until we get to Advent. And that starts us thinking about Christmas, your favorite. So at Advent, we're almost to your favorite here. That's Thanksgiving, right here, right before Advent starts. That's Thanksgiving. So then Christmas ends. We have a couple of weeks of Christmas. Did you know that? Yeah. And then we're back in ordinary time, and it's winter, and it's cold, and it's dark, and it's snowy, and it's not my favorite. And then we go to Lent, and we have Lent, and then we have Lent, Holy Week is red, Easter, at the end of Easter is Pentecost, and now we're back into ordinary time. But ordinary does not mean routine. It has to do with a number. I'll explain it in junior church. But all of this time, we're supposed to be growing. Not only as people, but as a church.
Green for growth.
Green for growth. Yeah,
matches our pyramids up here. The pyramids change for these seasons.
Yes. So this, and that's why I have the color like this, so I remember green for this, and then we go to Advent, and it's either blue or purple, and Christmas is either gold or white.
We use white.
We use white. I gave it gold so it would show up. Isn't that cool? So you can always tell where we are in the church year just by looking at the colors. But we're going to be here until the end of fall. So that means your brain has to stretch from here to here.
Through the summer.
Through the summer and through the fall.
Through the fall.
Stretch, stretch, stretch. Yep. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the ordinary time that's not ordinary. For your routine that's not routine. Help us to grow in you. Amen.
Please join us in our prayer hymn, From the Rising of the Sun. It's an insert in your bulletin. We're going to sing it through and then repeat it one time.
Did you notice the ordinary time in that psalm? I hope so. It all goes together. Let us go before our Lord in prayer on this day. God, you are worthy of being praised. You do bring us the new day every day, and you tell us there are new mercies every day. And as the sun goes down, we can lay down any worries that we have, knowing that your mercies are new. Lord, you are so amazing. You are the kind of God who is intentional about being among us. Your love is unmistakable. Your love is inescapable. Lord, you are always around. You are showing us your majesty in all that we see. You show us so much throughout the day. And if we're watching, we can see the beauty in one another. But Lord, often we are clouded by all of the things that aren't beautiful. The way that we see how we treat one another, and we recognize how we are not who we should be, as you created us to be in your image. So Lord, on this day, we understand that there are things that are around us that are not of you. Lord, when we look around our world, we can see trouble. We can see the evil. We can see all different kinds of bad. So Lord, we just ask that you would intervene, that you would bring your amazing love into attention. People would recognize what is good, so that we can stop the fighting. There's fighting in families. There's fighting among friends. There's fighting among countries. Lord, it is all around us. But you have called us to be the light. So may we be the ones that are bringing the light into our own space. That as we grow in your likeness, we would be able to make an impact, a difference in the world around us. So Lord, we call upon your love and all of those who trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, around the globe, to be praying for this, all of the different things to stop. The Middle East is just at odds, oh God, and we are disheartened. May we be praying for resolution and peace. Lord, you are the only way that things can change. So empower us, strengthen us, give us courage to be able to make that difference that you call. We'll begin here in our neighborhoods, but we will always be mindful of what's going on beyond our own space. May your light be shown across the world. Let us now share what Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as we have been impacted by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are able to partner with God in all that is to be done in his glory. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Thank you. Please join together in this prayer of dedication. Gracious and transforming God, you clothe us in grace and love. Receive these gifts as signs of our desire to live into Christ's vision of your beloved community. May our giving reflect the boundless love you pour into us. We pray this in the name of the one who makes us whole. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's scripture reading is taken to the letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was your disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, You are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of God to the people of God.
Well, hopefully you are familiar now after last week me mentioning about the season of the time after Pentecost and the education we serve during children's moments about how that time goes from now until Advent. This season is for us a time to reflect on the reality of God the Father sending God the Son to save us and the world from sin and death. And then the Father and the Son sending God the Spirit into the hearts of the lives of the faithful, you and me. And not just to reflect on it, but to evaluate how the reality is integrated into our ordinary daily lives. That's part of why we see the time after Pentecost also being referred to as ordinary time, as well as also, as Lynn alluded to, ordinary, and time is a specific thing. The rhythm of the Christian calendar, though, is revelation, reconciliation, and realization, where realization is the fulfillment or achievement of God's work in us. This should be the ordinary rhythm of our life as well. So during this season of ordinary time, we are encouraged to establish and find our rhythm again. Part of the realization that occurs is understanding that faith is a way of life, not just a belief system. So to help us get off on a good start in this season of ordinary time, I want to look at this passage from Galatians to lay the foundation of what is ordinary about a life of faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe it is easier to think about what is ordinary about life without faith in Jesus. Well, before Jesus came, that is all the world understood, right? So at the time of Jesus' coming, there were two broad worldviews that defined the biblical world, the worldview of the Jewish and the worldview of the Gentile. Both had a relationship with God or the gods. The Jewish people organized their lives around the law of Moses to live in peace with the Almighty God. Whereas the Gentiles lived to appease and manipulate the many gods to be prosperous and powerful. Both lived under the rule of law according to the one in power, whether it was God or the latest emperor or king. In Galatia, Paul was writing primarily to the Gentile Christians who were being influenced by the Jewish Christians to submit to the Jewish rule of law in order to include them in the promise of the righteousness with God that was made to Abraham, the father of their people. Paul had confronted the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem previously that placing this requirement on the Gentiles was not appropriate, since the Gentiles showed evidence of the Holy Spirit in them upon believing and accepting Jesus Christ by faith. Here, in this letter, Paul was confronting the Gentile Christians, urging them to not subject themselves to the law, but to trust in what they had received by faith already. Then, speaking to both Jewish and Gentile Christians, Paul argued, "Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith." Paul did his best here to lump both Jews and Gentiles under one umbrella as to what was ordinary in their lives before Christ came. And that unifying reality was they all lived bound by the rule of law of sin and death. How the differing cultures handled this truth defined their ordinary life. So Paul's use of the word disciplinarian, as it was understood in the Greek language and the Jewish culture, was intentional to help clarify his argument. A disciplinarian, as one theologian described, was an adult custodian assigned to a youth to protect and guide the youth's access to their inheritance until they became an adult descendant and could access the inheritance freely. So until Christ came, the law set the ways and bounds of our lives that determined righteousness before God. However, when Jesus Christ came, faith in Jesus set the way of life that granted righteousness before God. The custodian, the law, no longer controls all access to our inheritance. Jesus Christ and faith in Him does. See, Paul argued we either live an ordinary life of faith or an ordinary life of law. Whether Jew or non-Jew, there is no arguing that the law has a strong pull on our life because it gives us boundary lines to strive for and a means for judgment and exclusion. On the other hand, living a faith in Jesus Christ provides different privileges of ordinariness. Now, Paul described what those privileges are in the next few verses. And he points out four distinct realities of an ordinary life of faith. Paul noted first, he wrote, "But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." Through faith in Jesus, we no longer have an obstacle between us and God. The law of Moses highlighted the ever-present hindrance of the law of sin and death. But it never removed sin, which blocks our access to God and our inheritance of eternal life. Faith in the one who removes sin, Jesus Christ, grants us full access to our inheritance now to be enjoyed forevermore. We are no longer slaves, subject to a disciplinarian. In a life of faith, it is ordinary to live as children of God. We already have our inheritance. We have the privilege of being within the family of God. When we wake up every morning, this is true of who we are. We don't have to question it, wonder about it. We are the children of the living God. If this is still hard for you to visualize or accept, I encourage you to tell yourself any chance you get, but especially in the morning when you wake, "I am a child of God." Claim your birthright saying, "I am a sibling of Jesus Christ. I share in His inheritance." Every day we can approach the Lord our God. Visualize this as a child raises their arms to their loving Father. We don't have to prove or earn that we are worthy to receive the Father's love. We are accepted as is. Now, even though we are accepted as we are, our faith in Jesus Christ, we aren't left where we start our journey. So Paul encouraged. He said, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Baptism is our entry point into a full access relationship with God through our relationship with Jesus Christ and the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. In a life of faith, it is ordinary to be shaped by our communion with Jesus. I want to emphasize this word communion here. Because communion implies a deeper level of intimacy than the word relationship. Relationships come in all kinds and forms, but if we are in communion with someone, we take on. Sorry, I lost my mind. We take on the characteristics and tendencies of that other person. Now, if you are married, maybe you can see this. I can see this in my marriage with Suzanne. After 34 years, but we don't only know each other's habits and quirks, but we have grown together as we have influenced one another and hopefully bringing out the best of both of us as we have grown. The beauty of our communion with Jesus is that we don't influence a change in Jesus, but by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit shapes us according to Jesus' character and our hearts like Jesus' heart. This is what Paul means by being clothed with Christ. We are putting on the internal and the external attributes of Jesus, or should I just say, Jesus is dressing us with His likeness. Another aspect of communion is that it implies consistency of the closeness. Just like we put our clothes on every day, and sometimes multiple times a day, depending on what our day brings, we are to look to Jesus. And in that, invite the Holy Spirit to dress us with the appropriate garments, whether it be love, patience, peace, gentleness, etc., that meets the moment. We can't take our relationship for granted, assuming Jesus will just change our minds and our hearts without asking the Lord first to expose our rough edges and showing us His goodness. Maturing in Christ takes initiative. Initiative on our part to engage with discipleship through personal time with Jesus, but also through meeting with others and then growing by studying, praying, serving, playing, and sharing life's joys and concerns together. So I encourage you to take some initiative. Join in an existing Sunday school class or a meet and eat group, or just start something new with your trusted brothers and sisters in Christ. Because the bottom line is, find a way to be in communion with Jesus and other disciples and grow together. Because meeting with other disciples is part of our witness to the privilege we have by faith in Jesus Christ. As we are shaped and reflect Jesus in who we are, those on the outside looking in will notice our distinctiveness. However, there are some things in the world that humanity has created that have made distinctions that are irrelevant when it comes to a life of faith. Paul declared, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Here Paul listed the primary divisions represented in the culture he was writing to. However, in every human culture, there are multiple identifiers that divide the community. And depending on where we fit in, certain privileges or lack thereof are available to us or not. We could dwell on all divisions that exist in our culture, but it really doesn't matter what they are. Because in a life of faith, it is ordinary to welcome all into our faith family. Faith in Jesus removes all human identifiers from being a limitation to accessing the privileges of the family of God. What the world has divided, Jesus unites. If Jesus knocked down the walls of division, then as far as Jesus' disciples are concerned, that's you and me, the barriers don't exist. Everyone has access to the faith we have. And we should not be an obstacle for anyone. So when we say faith community is a safe space for exploring faith and building community, we better back it up. It takes all of us to welcome everyone. Because even if one of us gives a look of disapproval or disingenuous greeting of some kind to someone that we encounter, we could be turning people away from not only us, but Jesus. The world may not agree with us, and that's okay. Our allegiance is with Jesus, who welcomes to all that faith has to offer in Jesus. In other letters, Paul goes on and speaks of the beauty of diversity that God has created and how that diversity is what makes the family of God, the body of Christ, strong and effective. Diversity in our community also helps us to shape us more fully in the likeness of Christ, as well as deepen our understanding of peace. As we recognize we are more alike than we are different. In the unity of our diversity, we experience the beauty of belonging to the family of God. And then Paul concluded, "And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." You see, Abraham was considered righteous before God because of his faith. And because of his faith, God made a promise that through Abraham all would be blessed. And that blessing is the coming of Jesus and faith in him that is available to all to belong within the family of God forever. In a life of faith, it is ordinary to be secure in our eternal future. Belonging and security go hand in hand. Jesus Christ gives us both. Faith in Jesus provides confidence when everything tells us otherwise. This doesn't mean we don't feel anxious or have doubts or concerns, but it does mean our hope is secure. Because hope and faith dispel fear and despair. An ordinary life of faith in Jesus Christ comes with privileges that await anyone who accepts what Jesus offers. So what may seem inaccessible becomes accessible simply by faith. So during this season of ordinary time, let's evaluate how we are living into our ordinary life of faith in Jesus Christ. As we remind ourselves that it is ordinary to live as children of God, enjoying communion with Jesus who shapes us and welcoming all into our faith family and experiencing the security of our eternal future. You see, let our faith in Jesus be what defines the ordinariness of our life. To become an extraordinary impact on our community. Amen.
If you'd please stand as you're able for our closing hymn, "Seek Ye First," number 405 in your hymnal.
It's okay to be ordinary in your faith. It's not okay just to be ordinary without faith. So take your ordinariness and your faith in Jesus Christ and be an impact on the world. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.